this was a point where the nurses couldn't weigh me at triage. So they literally had to wheel me in a wheelchair to the laundry room and put me on a laundry scale.
Oh, shit.
And I was 601 pounds. And that moment was one of the most embarrassing moments. I had this young nurse. You could see the like uncomfortableness, the fact that she had to put me on a laundry scale.
Yeah.
And I was really sick at that time. I ended up going home. I was in bed for like 2 weeks. My voice, I was coughing all night long. I had a very, basically I had all the symptoms that they were saying of COVID before we even knew what COVID was. So I was in school at the time. I was a full-time student studying in IT. And once COVID hit, everyone was locked in.
Yeah.
You know, so that the shutdown happened. And here I was like, my life is changing, you know.
Guess what, guys? I'm not a doctor. So if you're going to be making any major medical decisions, please consult your doctor. That includes diets, exercise, medications, and surgery. I love you guys. And be careful and consult your doctor.
Welcome back to Our Sleeve Life podcast. I'm your host, Mel, and today we have a little treat for you. You know me, I love patient stories. I love sharing you guys because everybody's so different, but we all have a lot in common. So today I'm very excited to introduce you to this man. I got to meet him at the bariatric retreat, gave him hugs and love. It was so much fun. He's so entertaining. So welcome on, Adrian. Nice to have you.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah. And where can people find you on Instagram? What are you?
Oh, yeah. So under? It's at It's This Guy, AZITS. I always say, because it used to be This Guy, AZ, but then I was like, It's This Guy, AZ on Instagram. You can also find me on Facebook looking at as well. But those are the main two things you can find me on. If you do follow TikTok, of course, yeah. I do post not as much on TikTok, but yeah, you can find me on
there. Oh, TikTok's a beast.
Yeah.
It's like its own thing, man. I do love the weight loss community over there. They're sporting us like crazy. So for you, Adrian, when did all this start for you? Because I know when I was born, I was a big baby and I was a big person my whole life. So how is it for you?
So, I've been a large guy my whole life. But for me, as far as when my world turned upside down, I guess the start of my story was in 2020, before the pandemic hit. It was in February. This is where it was at that point. I mean, I played football. I was always a large guy, but I hit 600 pounds in 2020. I got really sick. It was in February. It was like literally we didn't know what the pandemic was. We didn't know what COVID was at that moment. We knew people were getting sick, things like that. But I remember I landed up in the ER, had an upper respiratory infection. And there was just a lot of other symptoms. And this was a point where the nurses couldn't weigh me at triage. So they literally had to wheel me in a wheelchair to the laundry room and put me on a laundry scale.
Oh, shit.
And I was 601 pound. And that moment was one of the most embarrassing moments. I had this young nurse. You could see the like uncomfortableness, the fact that she had to put me on a laundry scale.
Yeah.
And I was really sick at that time. I ended up going home. I was in bed for like 2 weeks. My voice, I was coughing all night long. I had basically I had all the symptoms that they were saying of COVID before we even knew what COVID was. So I was in school at the time. I was a full-time student studying in IT. And once COVID hit, everyone was locked in.
Yeah.
You know, so the shutdown happened. And here I was like, my life is changing. You know, there was constantly stories are coming out of people who were overweight, who were losing their life once they got sick and they got COVID, the respiratory issues, things like that. And then I actually had about four friends that I knew from the football community that I played in, my age, black guys who, you know, so all those health complications were kicking in and they all contracted COVID. And two of them made it out of the hospital and died like right after that. And then the other two actually died in the hospital. Oh, so here shit. I'm in my mind, I'm like, I'm 39 at the moment. And we're all like in our 39, 40s, right?
Yeah.
And here I'm 6 months away from turning 40. And I'm like, if I get sick, I'm not going to make it. I'm going to die. So there was a lot going on at that moment. I ended up moving out. I was living with me and my mom were living together. And I ended up getting an apartment, and I had to learn again. This is during the shutdown. This is, you know, people were learning how to adapt to, you know, living in your apartment or your house or whatever. You're not able to go anywhere, not able to commute many places. They want you just kind of locked out, picking up your groceries, things like that.
Oh, yeah. So it's a whole new world then.
Whole new world. And here I am in a 400 square feet studio learning how to adapt to that. Also, you know, trying to deal with my weight. So here I was 6 months, I was actually graduating from community college, learning how to navigate all that. And I told myself in June that I was like, if I don't do something, I'm probably not going to make 40. My birthday was in June, you know? Okay. So I was like, oh, so I finally said, let's do something. So at that moment, that's when I cleaned out my refrigerator. Okay. I started eating rice, started getting protein shakes. I couldn't go to a gym because the gyms were closed. So right. I would just walk around my apartment, things like that. But where I was at that time, I was in a really dark place. Also, while all this is going on, I could barely walk 88 steps. My internship was in aviation, IT. I was at the airport, and I would have to walk around the terminal a lot, and I couldn't do it. They would have to lead me because I'd catch up because I was drenched in sweat.
Yeah. You know, those terminals gasping. Are long. Like some of them are wild. Yeah, where are you at?
I'm in Austin, Texas.
Okay. So you're in Austin.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay,
so, you know, it was difficult. But every day was getting darker and darker, even as I was trying to make these decisions, like, hey, you know, I need to make some changes. And I was to the point where I was like, I'm not going to make it. And I used to leave my front door a lot because this is where my mindset was at. It was like, I need to let my family find me. Oh, and that's where I was at. You know what I'm saying? I was like, I was preparing myself that I wasn't going to wake up the next day, even though I was like, I'm going to make these changes. But I was like, maybe it's not enough time.
Right. You know, you're being logical about it. Like,
yeah, because I didn't want them beating down the door. People. Exactly. You know, you hear these horror stories. People who are obese that can barely move and things like that. And me, 88 steps was the hardest thing for me to do. That was from my front door to my car, to the parking garage where my car was. And every day I would come home from school or work or anything like that I was doing, I couldn't make those 88 steps. I was gassed. I was drenched in sweat. And again, 88 steps.
Yeah.
Trying to walk that. And here I am drenched in sweat. My back is tightened up. I'm leaning on vehicles. You know, it's taking me 5 minutes just to get into my apartment because I could barely do. These are just simple tasks I couldn't do.
Right. You know? Some things that we take for granted.
It very much. Yeah. So, I mean, that's when I just, you know, I said, I had this fire under me. I said, I got to do something. And that's when I started my journey. You know, that's literally the start of my journey. In 2020, I literally use TikTok as a source to show people my journey or workouts and things. So again, as time's progressing from COVID, the gyms are opening up. I started getting active more. I started losing a little weight, got down to like 498, gained it all back once I had to go back to the office. I got all the way back up to 556.
Okay.
That's when the doctors stepped in and they said, you know, I was diagnosed with high blood pressure. Okay. I was diagnosed pre-diabetic and I was devastated. I was like, all this hard work I had been doing for nothing. And someone had to point out a perspective. It's like, look at it like this, though, man. Like, what if you weren't doing that? You'd be full-blown diabetic. You'd have health complications. You'd have serious complications with, you know, your high blood pressure, hypertension, things like that. And so I said, yeah, you know, you're right. So I just kept churning and just kept going, kept showing up, working out 5-6 days a week. But that's when the doctors were like, you have to have surgery. So that's when I connected with my doctor. And he was like, he started following me on social media. He's like, I've never had a patient like you with your BMI who's over 550 pounds who works out like you do. And, you know, how are you able to walk around? And, you know, because I didn't want to give up. I've come this far. Even though I gained all that weight back, I still was just doing it. So in 2023, December the 26th, the day after Christmas, is when actually I had my surgery date.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. And which one did you have?
I had the sleeve.
You had the sleeve.
Yeah, I had the sleeve done. I was at 520 pounds when I had surgery.
Okay. And did you get to choose that or did you guys talk about it and figure it out? Like how did that come about?
So I had no idea about any of the other options. It just like, I went in he told me you need to have the sleeve. And I did. I was like, okay, doc, you tell me what's best for me. I didn't really look at any of the options. He was already telling me, he's like, I don't think gastric bypass would be work for you. I don't think GLP. I don't think any of these other things would be.
Yeah, the GLP like, ones. Yep.
And I was like, okay. And I still like, I didn't know what those were. I was just like, You tell me what's good for me, doc, and I'm just going to go with it. You know, I'm a very go with the flow type of person. Yeah. So that's what I did. You know, he just told me this was the best thing for me. And I think because I was so active, he was very confident that I'm not going to need any revisions. I'm not going to, because I was already living a lifestyle of working out and being active, even though I had a bigger body. And, you know, so he was just like, the sleep is going to work for you. I'm really confident on it. And we're just going to go from there and just hit the ground running.
Oh, so. I love that. Because it is impressive. Because, you know, I've had people on that have been 500 plus and they're not moving like you're talking about.
Yeah.
Well, you know, like they're just like stuck in the house. They can barely go to the kitchen and back. They're sitting while they're cooking. You know, like they're not able to stand for long periods of time. So,
oh, very much. I think my saving grace for me was, because when I tell people I weighed 600 pounds, they were like the TV show, like the 600 pounds. I was like, yeah.
Yeah.
I said, but how? Like, you don't look it. And I was like, well, I said, you know, I wasn't always a big guy, but also I was an athlete. I played football. So that, I think that's what saved me from, I've always been a wide frame person, but I got to the point where I was starting to round out. You know,
got you.
But that's, yeah, I mean, I know a lot of people who do struggle, like you said, though, you know, they're not active. So I'm a big like activist as far as whether you're having surgery or not. It's like, get active, get going, because you have to strengthen your body before and after. So, and you know, so anybody who's having it now, I always try to like start now, start working out now.
Right now. Yes. Like after this episode that you're listening to, exactly. Or right now, you can go on a walk.
You can be doing some squats. While you're listening to this, get some squats going on. Get active.
Yeah. Cause I mean, and I love that you say squats, and then I know that you're joking, but also like those are your biggest fucking burners, is like the butt and thighs. So oh my it's gosh. Like, you know, like those will keep burning longer than when you're running or walking. So like they actually run for like 72 hours. So it's like work on the biggest muscle groups, guys. Like, and don't worry about getting too buff. Like, let's just get a routine down. You know, I'm working on my routine now as well. Cause like, you know, you go to the gym and then sometimes it falls off, or basically like you go on a trip. Or like when I was at retreat, I was doing well, went to retreat, came back, and I was like, ah, shit, I got to figure this all back out.
You got to start back up. Yeah. But that's the best thing about that is that you can stop and start anytime.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And I think we get kind of lost in that, where it's like, oh, I fell off. Now I got to start all over. But no, you don't have to like bring your tone or your energy down that you have to start all over. Can I cuss?
Yeah.
Okay. Get your ass up and just keep going. Just start. Just get, hit the switch. Hit it again. Like just again. You can just go. It doesn't matter. We can't get fixated on that. Literally, just show up and just keep showing up. That's So yeah.
I think that's the biggest thing. Like, just show up for yourself.
Very much. Very much. Yeah. Yes.
Because I do believe that your football stuff really helped you be able to be mobile much. And actually probably helped with food and discipline for you to have that motivation in your brain.
Like, a bit of a way. Yeah. It's just, you know, it was a combination for me. But I think that was the biggest thing that helped me, was that I was a former athlete. So it wasn't as difficult as I know some people. Like, I have a relative who, he was not as athletic as I was, and he had surgery and he struggled with a lot of things with his legs and things like that. And I was always on him, like, you really got to start walking more. You still got to start lifting, because you have to strengthen your body, because our bodies are no longer carrying that heavy weight as it was before. So now you're all wobbly all over the place. And now you got to tighten that thing up, you know?
So you're all loosey goosey.
Exactly.
I love it. So you got surgery at 5:20.
5:20, yes.
5:20. So how was your support system before you went into surgery? Was family and friends happy about this? Were they scared?
Both scared. I guess let me kind of read. So my birth mom, she was obese.
Okay.
She was morbidly obese, and she passed away in 2000. Actually, just the other day was her 9-year anniversary of passing. She passed away from uterine cancer, and she was morbidly obese. as well as myself. And that was a big concern. Mm-hmm. Was, you know, before she passed, I had to make her some promises that I would start looking at my weight. And this was in 2017. I actually had never weighed myself from 2020 going back a few years. Like, I had stopped weighing myself. So I had no idea that I was that, I had no idea I was that big. But when she passed away, you know, the promise was that I was going to start taking care of my health. And I said, okay, yeah. But, you know, life gets involved. I was still mourning. I was in school full time. You know, I wasn't thinking about these things, but I knew the struggle was real. I mean, there was days that I could barely go to class because I had to park at Timbuktu and walk through the parking lot. And I was like, I'm just not going to do it. And I would just go home, you know? Like, these things did that. But my family, once my birth mom passed away, I was blessed to have another mother, my aunt, who raised me as her son. She was very supportive. She really wanted me to get it. I was terrified of getting surgery. But just to watch the fear in my family's eyes, to see me struggling to move around. And then knowing we just lost, you know, my mother, my birth mom from cancer, and she couldn't get treatment because of her weight. She couldn't fit in. She couldn't get CAT scans. She couldn't get MRI. She couldn't, you know, chemo was going to kill her faster than it would have treated it. It would have killed it. So that, you know, so these things were heavy. So my family was there for that. No, we don't. And the struggle was that I barely fit in the machine. Like, I literally had to grab sheets and pull my arms to hold myself together to be able to fit into getting like CAT scans and things like that. That's something a lot of times we don't even think about. Seeking treatment is, you know, can be difficult. So of course, my family, after watching her go through that, everybody's eyes adjusted to me.
Yeah,
and was like, they weren't saying you're next, but they were just saying like, you got to do something because we don't want you to go through this if you get sick.
Right.
You know, and that's one thing, you know, so my family has been very supportive of me. They've been blown away by the fact that I made this decision and had surgery and things like that. But I've had an amazing support system. My close friends who I consider family as well. The community, I think that's what really opened things up for me, is because I became very transparent. When I told myself, when I started my journey, I said, I'm going to be very transparent. Okay. That's why you asked that question. I was like, ask all you want. When people say, hey, can I ask you a question? I'm like, sure. I don't turn away questions. I don't want to hide anything in the event somebody wants to have that same journey. And then they're surprised and they get hit in the face and they fold. Because they weren't expected that. I'm like, no, I don't want that for you. I want you to know exactly what I went through. All they want to do is celebrate my ups, right? My wins. But at the same time, I'm like, yo, I have crippling anxiety. I used to sit in the corner of my apartment and cry because I could barely move. Or, you know, there's going to be days that you're just going to struggle. Everything's going to fall apart.
You are. Yep.
You know, I've had breakdowns in the middle of the gym. You know, so there's going to be ugly days. Like, you know, there's ups, there's downs, there's good, there's bad. All these things exist. And I tell people, you're going to fail. And they're like, whoa, aren't you supposed to be like this positive guy? You know? And I'm like, nah, let's keep it a buck. All right. You're going to fail. The difference, though, is I need you to understand is how you come back from that, or, you know, keep going. So I was fortunate that a lot of my friends, which is crazy for me to be 600 pounds, to be obese, to be just a mess. My best friend is a fitness trainer. You know, we played ball together. You know, a lot of my friends are very health conscious. I live in Austin. Austin is a very health conscious city. You know, so I had all of these support systems. They loved me when I was big, and they've loved me through when I was at my low points. And now that I'm, you know, they still are there rooting me on. And I think it's a blessing for me for who I am, as my personality. It opened up a lot of doors with people. There was a guy I met at the gym. I didn't know him from Jim, Joe, or Bo. We just converse, you know, and he owned a meal prep company.
Oh.
And he was like, dude, we need to connect, you know, and he was a personal trainer as well. And he did competitions and things like that. And he was like, and I said, yeah, you know, and of course people would tell me that all the time. And I was like, you know what? Hey, no problem. And he was like, no, you're not hearing me. Like, I'm going to sponsor your meals. Because I was telling him I was getting ready for weight loss surgery. Oh. And he was like, I'm going to sponsor your meals so you can get your meals, you can get your weight down to prep for surgery. So for like 3 months, they were covering my food.
Damn, that's awesome.
For 3 months. Shout out to MilPros. When this thing comes out, I want to can to Nick and MilPros. They were amazing in the start. I mean, again, it was about 3 months. I initially was only expecting a month. I wasn't really expecting anything. I was thinking he's going to give me a couple meals and be done with me. But then he was seeing the progress and he was just like, dude, you're changing your life, man. Mm-hmm. And he's like, we want to be a part of that. So, you know, here comes another month. And he was like, get online, order your meals. And, you know, so I use those meals to prep from a high protein diet, low carb, you know, meals to help me to get to 520 to be able to have surgery. So my support system has been insane.
Yeah.
I had a lady, I won't say her name. There was a lady who found me on TikTok. She actually paid for my personal trainer for 3 months. She blessed
me.
Yeah, she blessed me. She just kept asking, why don't you have a trainer? And I was like, yeah. And then she finally got a hold of me. And, you know, I kept saying no. And, you know, when I grew up, if somebody tells you don't block my blessing, that's like you can't say nothing. You have to say, you know what? You're right. I'm not going to block your blessing. You want to bless me? Cool. I'm going to accept it. And I was blessed to get a personal trainer for 3 months. And that actually helped me as well get to where I was, you know, to have surgery. It helped me tremendously. So all of that said, I have been blessed with an amazing support, you know, a cast of support from friends and family, from strangers. Some of my biggest supporters are folks who I don't know what they look like besides their emoji on Instagram, TikTok, or whatever, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's the only thing I know them as. I've been blessed to meet a lot of people, though, from it.
Yeah.
It's, you know, again, it brought me to the Bariatric Society, and I've created friendships with so many people. So that is huge to have. Now,
that is huge to have.
The reality is not everyone will have that.
No. And if you didn't go work out at that place, you would have never met that guy.
Yeah.
So, it's the little things.
Yes. Very much.
It's so impressive in the support of the community and just people in general. Just like, I don't know about you, but that's really amped my journey.
Yes.
Like, that has kept me on point because I'm 10 years out. So it's like, it's been a lot. Like, I was 308 pounds. I'm 169 as of today.
Hey, blah, 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 blah.
This is insane. I've never been this weight. I've never seen this number in my life, as like a middle schooler, high schooler, like I was always 180 or over. So this is a whole new territory, but I give a lot of that to you guys because if I wasn't reading your guys' stuff and watching your guys' journeys, like you guys motivate me to get my ass up and I'm like, all right, Adrian's fucking working out again. My ass better get up. I can't just sit here and act like it's like, I'm so busy. I can't move, you know, but it really works. It totally
does. It does. And what you just said there is like, I'm really busy. That grinds my gears. When people have like, because people will ask me, hey, you know, what's some advice or some things like that? And, you know, we get to talking and conversing about things and they're like, oh, I just don't have time. And I'm like,
no, you do.
You don't really want it. It just sounds good in this moment that you're in. It just sounds good. You don't really want it. I said, because if you really want it, you will interject, you will integrate it into your life.
Yep.
And they're like, well, no, I got to cook for my kids. I'm like, you got kids? I was like, uh-huh. So do your kids go outside? They're like, yeah. Oh, yeah. We take, you know, we go for a walk. So they're playing? Okay, so what are you doing? Like, are you playing with them? I was like, okay, so then you're getting active and moving, right? Okay, I got to bathe them. I'm like, do you actually bathe your children? I was like, yeah. So you're in the bathroom and you're bathing them, right? I was like, okay, so you could literally be doing squats while you're bathing your kids, right? Lifting them up, using them as weight. Oh, I got to cook for them. I'm like, so you're sitting at a stove? I mean, you're standing at a stove and cooking? I was like, oh, okay, yeah, you could be doing squats right there, or you could do leg raises. I was like, I started off with a chair and some cans of vegetables.
Yep.
And I would literally sit there and do like this and get up and down, walk through my room. I was like, and I did that while I was in class, like remotely when I was in school, I was doing that. You just have to open up and find ways to do it. Cause if you really want it, you'll find a way. I mean,
you do. And with the cooking thing, I know if like my neighbors saw me, they'd be laughing their asses off because like when I'm cooking meat, I'm just standing there watching it and I'm like doing leg raises.
There you go.
I'm fucking doing the, I don't even know what you would call those. But yeah, like I do the knee to chest. And
oh, yeah. High knees.
High knees, leg ups. And then, yeah, I'll do squats. And sometimes on my my countertop, I'll just start doing push-ups.
There you go. Because
you have to wait for the meat to burn, right? I'm not burn, but to cook. So, you know, you got to make sure you flip it, right? So I'm like, I'm one of those where I'm not leaving my food to like go watch something or whatever. I'm like in it. So I'm like, all right, this is what we do. And you just have to get comfortable doing that because it does feel silly, right?
I'm not going to lie.
It does feel silly and weird and goofy, but guess what? No one's there to care. No. And it's your body. Do it.
Exactly. And that's the biggest thing is like anyone who's out there that's wanting to make a change in their life, the biggest thing you also have to accept is that it's going to get uncomfortable. Yes. You have to step out of your comfort zone. You have to get to a point where you don't give a damn. You don't give a damn what people say. Because we get fixated, especially anyone who's overweight. You constantly are worried what others are saying and looking at you and things like that.
Yeah,
I believe like everyone should have the Lizzo mentality where like you know, because Lizzo doesn't really care what people say, you know, or I say like a lot of, how do I say this? It'd be the most respectful way to say it. There's nothing like a very positive, large woman, right? Who's very boisterous and things like that. She don't care about nobody. She's going to have a fun. She's going to turn up, right? So again, that mentality was like, look, I'm out here tending to me. If you want to ride, get on this ride. Come on. Enjoy the view, whatever it is. But I don't want to hear nothing else. And that's the thing you have to do is you have to get comfortable with being uncomfortable.
100%.
Very much.
I've been told that ever since I started this journey, over 10 years ago. Like when I was working out with my brother, like I was on the elliptical I was like crying because I was 300 pounds doing it. And he's like, it's okay. It's going to be okay.
It is.
And I was like, yeah. And he goes, you're going to get used to being uncomfortable.
Very much. And
because I was very nervous about everybody else watching me get upset on this fucking elliptical. Mm-hmm. And I was too worried about them. And he's like, they have their own plans in their head.
Yes.
Just don't worry about it. And that really helped because it's like, oh yeah, like we're kind of all here doing the same thing. Mm-hmm. And most of the time they're worried about what their next set is, who's messaging them, they're switching their songs. You know, like you have to remember, like not everybody is like fixated on you.
Yes.
And also I had to tell myself what makes me so important that I think everybody in the gym is watching me, right? You have to like talk to yourself and figure it out. And you're like, oh yeah, this is not as like more as intimidating as it actually is.
Very much.
I think we build it up a lot.
And I mean, also for me, it's like you get to a point where you get this attitude about you. It's like, you know what? Give them something to watch. So for me, I used to, I started recording my workouts. I would be so worried about people looking at me. And it's like, so I didn't want to like, you know, all eyes on me while I'm working out or getting the recording going. So I remember there was one time I was at the gym, I was started recording and then I turned the recording off.
Okay.
And well, actually, I'm sorry. I didn't turn it off. I was about to turn it off. And this guy walked up to me, very fit dude. I saw him around the gym a lot. And he was like, hey, man, I was like, what's up? And I took my earphones off. And he said, hey, man, I just wanted to tell you, I appreciate you. And I was like, he's like, I see you here all the time. And he was like, I was telling my wife, I said, man, there's days I do not want to go to the gym. I do not want to work out. Now, mind you, this is a very fit guy. He's actually a sheriff deputy now. So he's a very fit dude. And he was like, I don't want to go to the gym. But then he was like, babe, there's this guy. He's always smiling. He's a really big guy, but he's always in there. He shows up working. And I'm like, if this dude will get up in there, and I know it's not easy for him, right?
Right.
And he was like, he was being very honest. And I said, no, I appreciate it. He's like, but I see you working out. And you can see it's hard. I can see it in your face when you're recording your videos and going around, but you still come and show up every day. He's like, and I appreciate that, man. I was like, dude, can I tell you something? I was like, what? I was like, I literally was embarrassed for now and I wanted to turn my camera off from recording. I said, but the fact that he's like, because you were seeing me, right? And he was like, yeah. So I say that too. It's like, you never know who's really watching you.
You don't.
And finding inspiration in what you're doing because you're showing up.
Yeah.
Right? You know, and I mean, again, so now I have these people who are seeing me and these random people will come up to me. I've switched gym. I went to a different crunch. And a guy, he doesn't speak a lot of English. He walked up to me and he was like, you used to go to the other gym. And I was like, yeah. He's like, you used to be very big, huh? I was like, yeah. He's like, you look amazing. You know, and he had very broken English. He was like German or something. He had very broken. He was like, I remember you like 3 years ago. And he's like, oh my gosh. You know, so again, you never know who's watching you.
Yeah.
I understand sometimes you feel like people are watching you and have like this negative draw to it or things like that, but you never know who's really watching you to find encouragement, to find inspiration in what you're doing. And just, you know, so use that. Let go of the negative and the hate that you yep. think that you're getting. Just remember, somebody found some type of joy or motivation, inspiration in what you're doing. And use
because
that.
Because they saw you be going and being yeah. consistent. Well, because that's the deal that I've learned on this journey for such a long time is the fact of like, these people that were around all know what it's like to be uncomfortable.
Very much.
Right. And that's what I've learned about bodybuilding people. Uh-huh. And then this weight loss, anybody that's on a weight loss journey, uh-huh. they're actually way more kind than you think that they're going to be. They're way more chill than you think they're going to be because they've actually, you don't know their backstory.
Right.
We have no idea. We're just making all these assumptions up because, you know, like at least for me, I was bullied. I've been called several crazy ass names. I've been thrown around before in a high school hallway, you know, like I graduated in 04. So we're pretty close in age. And sure. I feel like that was, you know, we were physically bullied. So there's a big difference.
It's different.
Yeah, it's a little different when people bully you to your fucking face and throw you across the fucking hallway because they think you're a fat ass bitch. Okay, so it's a little different. Like, I get the online shit is very harmful.
Right.
I will never take that away from someone, but I come from an era where it was physical in your face. And so, and even when I have brothers, right? So that would be also a problem because I got to hear all the guys and what they would say about women. Right.
Oh my goodness.
So like I realized, oh, I should never eat in a car because I heard them say like, oh, what, that fat bitch couldn't like wait till she got home to eat. Like,
wow.
Yeah. I heard that all the time. I've watched them throw things at people. I've watched like if a lady was, you know, had a stroller, they're like, ah, she's fucked before. Like, so it's just,
wow.
I've heard all of these crazy guy shit.
Yeah.
So in my head, I'm like, oh God, like guys just are waiting for us to fucking fuck up, like as a woman. Uh-huh. So I was just like, I was so scared to go to the gym, especially at 300 pounds. And I thank God still that I had my brother go with me because I was like, I'm just waiting for all these comments. Because it was different back then. It's not like it is now. And but yeah, it's like you just don't know what our backgrounds are. Yeah. So we definitely just need to remember, like, not everybody's an asshole.
That's yes.
And we need to go in with good intentions. And I actually told that to Dad Rob because we did our I was on his podcast last year. And we were talking about, like, he's like, you're just so nice to everybody. I go, yeah, because like I'm going in that you have good intentions at all times. I don't ever want to think that someone in our community or even just Joe Smo down the street is like has ill intent. So my job in my head is like, we're going to treat everybody like with respect. And until you lose that from me, then you will always have it from me.
Very much. And that's a great way to have it. That is awesome. Yes.
Yeah. Cause I know how shitty it is. Like I said, I've been through some shit and it's not fun. And you know, I don't wish this upon anybody. That's one of the reasons why I do the podcast and interview a patients like yourself and get to know the community. Cause like it's rough, guys. It's been rough. So I love that you're going in and you're being consistent. Like, are you still that way to this day? Like, how does your routine look like?
So, So last year, a lot of things changed, shift. Now, of course, here I am. I'm 345 pounds now.
Okay.
That's where I'm at now.
It's great.
Life is different. Coming from wearing 6X shirts down to 2 and 3X shirts, you know, being active as I am, healthier as I am, you know, my life has changed in the last couple of years drastically. So I was consistent in working out and I needed to change because I started feeling myself stalling or kind of getting stuck into things. So, of course, like I've actually for the last 7 months, I've been vegetarian.
What made you switch?
So I was struggling to process meat after surgery.
Okay.
I'd stopped red meat a long time ago. I was just here and there, but just like turkey, chicken, fish, things like that. It was still a struggle. And then I met someone and she's vegetarian by her whole life. She's been vegetarian. So when we would have dinner, it was a little easier to just find vegetarian options. And she recommended like, try this, it might help. And actually did. I don't have a desire to eat meat. I find a lot of the substitutions and things like that. But I was able to eat comfortably and not feel like bloated and full and just all exhausted after eating meat. So it just worked for me. And I just kept going, you know. So that's one thing, you know. But I was constantly working. I was just lifting, but I said I needed a change. So, of course, she introduced me to yoga. So I have, done some yoga. I also just functional HIIT workouts and things like that. I actually go to Burn Boot Camp now. I don't know if y'all are familiar with Burn Boot Camp. So I actually just officially joined. I love it. It takes the thinking out of it. And I just show up and get yelled at to do something. So, like, that works. I do recommend it. Yeah, like you literally take the thinking. I don't have to go in and get a workout plan. I don't have to, like, okay, I'm lifting this today. I'm doing legs. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. I still work out, though, you know. But I did take kind of a break from posting workouts and things like that. But I was still working out. I just wasn't as consistent.
Okay.
And just working through some things. Now, again, I don't want anyone to think like, okay, this guy's lost all this weight. This guy's joined a run club. He's going traveling more, mingling, meeting women, you know, making friends, just all these new experiences in life and think everything is hunky-dory. It's not always that.
No.
There are dark days. They still exist. You don't, just because you lose the weight, you don't lose the negativity in life. You don't lose the bad days. You don't lose, you know, the struggles. The struggles are still there, you know. You just have to maneuver them differently, things like that. So, of course, life was lifing. I did slow down on my workouts, but I still work out. So now I'm still going. I'm still active. And just have to find different ways about it. I still do work out. Yes, very much.
Good.
So I'm getting back to it. Yeah. Now I'm actually going to start recording again because I've been getting checked about it. Like, hey, man, I don't see any of your content. I'm like, yeah, I took a little break. From posting
and you have
anything.
Good content.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you.
You do. You totally do. And we're going to get a little spicy question then. So, I know in 2020, you were living with your mom and you moved out. Mm-hmm. And then you're living in this 400 square foot apartment by
studio,
yourself.
Yes. Yeah.
Right? Studio. So I hear a lady in the mist. So how was dating? How is that like for you? Because, you know, at 600, I'm sure you weren't dating.
No, it was not.
And so this has got to be a new world and we got to tell the people about it.
Yes. Okay. So let's dive into that. Okay. So,
yeah.
Before I was 600 pounds, I've always been a large guy, but it didn't limit me in the past. Was I considered a ladies' man in my younger days? I believe so. Yes. I would agree. I would agree if someone else said so. Yes. I wouldn't deny it. But then I lost a lot of confidence once I gained the weight.
Yeah.
So of course dating was non-existent. In fact, during the pandemic, I had a little fling with an old friend of mine and it just, you know, it kind of shattered. And, you know, so of course I got this mentality of like, you know what, I'm going to be alone the rest of my life. Self-worth was like, I had no love for myself. It was really rough. I just like, you know what? I couldn't even see life after 40. I couldn't see myself falling in love. I couldn't see myself in a family. I couldn't see a woman wanting me at 600 pounds. So of course, as I started losing weight, yeah, there was little spurts of confidence kicking up and, you know,
which is great.
Yeah. It's very great. You know, yeah. I had a plus, my online interaction with TikTok and things like that, I was always complimented by all these women. You're such a handsome man. Thank you. And I was like, and it's great to hear. Don't get it twisted. It's great to hear. But also, I still had to find that within myself.
Right.
You know, I had to accept that. I had all these women saying, you're so handsome and this and that. You were handsome before and you're still handsome now as you lose the weight and things like that. But again, I was still struggling. So I had surgery, and of course, that changed everything.
Yeah.
That changed a lot. I was a bouncer at a bar right before surgery. I was still big. And then after, and a woman came up to me. She was a regular. She was like, can I ask you a question? I was like, yeah, sure. She was like, now that you've lost all this weight, do you get more attention from the ladies? And I'm like, I said, can we put a pin in it? Because I just came back and I haven't really been out. I'm still recovering. So about a couple months later, I said, hey, you got a couple ticks? So let me say, yes, to answer that question, I do get a lot more attention. I think it's me. I think it's really, I have really let my light shine more. I've embraced who I truly have always been. And I think that has allowed me to explore more. So yes, yeah. The dating world has been interesting. I'm 45 years old. I don't have kids. So of course,
the part of you was like, woo-hoo!
I was like, when I had surgery, I told my mom, I was like, I'm getting surgery. She was excited. She was like, you're going to lose this weight. You're going to go dating. You're going to go fall in love. You're going to get married and have babies. And I was like, no, I'm going to be a hoe.
I want my grandbabies.
I'm going to be a hoe first. And my mom was so annoyed with me about that. I was like, I'm just going to be a hoe first. But, I'm not out here hoeing. So any of my viewers, I'm not. It's been interesting. But I'm also at the point now where I would like to, I want to be inside. I don't want to be outside. So I have met someone. Because they're going to see this. So they're just friends, but I'm having a lot of fun with it.
Good.
So yeah, I've dabbled a little bit in the dating world, but it's just not for me. It's fun, but just who I am, I knew I was built for love and, all these things. And again, I'm 45. I'm not saying it's too late for me, but it has opened up a lot. There's a lot of changes. How spicy.
You're so shy.
It's not shy. Because I know people are going to see this, and I'm it's awesome. Listen, hold on. Okay, hold on. Listen, hold on. Listen.
Oh, I got more questions, so just be prepared.
Okay. I said, yes, it is. It's great. I will say that. It's been wonderful. Oh, my. Oh, my.
Good.
Yes, life changes.
Self-worth is up. Self-esteem's up. Confidence up. Yeah, I love it. So yes. How's sexy time then?
Woo, Lord.
Let's go.
Listen.
Let's go.
Listen.
Okay, I will start first to help you not feel so shy.
Go ahead.
How's
sure.
That? How's that? Okay. So I will say, because I was married when I first started surgery. I'm not married anymore. He's been out of my life for 3 years. So, and then I hoed it up for those 3 years. But anyway, with him, what was nice was like one longer, right?
Mm-hmm.
Longer. All the positions. That was amazing, and the fact of like, I can do a lot more things. So,
I see how spicy this is getting.
I lost a lot of weight in my thighs. So, dude could be like right there. So it's awesome. So I just want people to know like the sexy time is one of my favorite parts because like I'm a sexual person. So I'm like, how do we make this even better?
Okay.
It's kind of for me. So it's like, the fact that I was not, sweaty and out of fucking breath anymore, it's those little things. Like you don't even realize that's a problem until it's gone. And you're like, huh.
Okay.
So this is what everyone else feels like. I got it now.
So when I was
your
bigger, I had a sexual partner, a woman that I've known for a long time, and we had sex, and it was miserable for me because, and I know it sounds bad, it wasn't anything on her part. It was me. No. Having all that weight and just, I'm gassed. So I'm like, my mind is running like I am performing horribly for this woman. This is unenjoyable. And, we were close enough that we can have those conversations, and she That's was good. Like, yeah, it was. So fast forward to the weight loss.
Yeah.
And we had sex and she was like, where did all that come from?
Yes, and I was there,
like,
you go.
And I was like, I was hiding a lot of this. this weight was hiding a lot.
It so does that, hide a lot. You don't realize what your belly is hiding, what your thighs are hiding.
Yes.
You know?
So it hit a lot. And of course, it was like, okay, where all that come from? The stamina, the ability, again, yes, the desire to do more, like you said, positions, the endurance. I mean, everything is heightened. I'm 45 and I feel, back in my 20s. I'm not going to be shocked because there's going to be some people who see this and know me from my earlier days. I was a hoe. I mean, okay. When I was younger, you know what I'm saying? I was fast. So again, I was like, ooh, now I have way more appreciation for a woman, way more. So
I love that.
It's enjoyable. It's, whenever I talk to fellas and they ask me, how things, I'm like, bruh, it's going to change your life. I said, you're married, right? He was like, yeah. I tell them, like, you're married. So you've already crossed that bridge. You've had, you gained the weight. So now it's time to get back to that. All right. Mm-hmm. And I talked to a guy, he had lost a bunch of weight. And I said, it's different, right? He's like, bruh, my wife loves it. And I'm like, there you go. I said, there you go. Exactly. So it does change sex, the sexy time. It does enhance it. I can't imagine, I don't even want to go back to my mindset then.
Yeah.
Cause now I'm just like, okay, hold on, wait a minute. We can, I don't have a gut check of reality.
Okay. No, that's good.
You know what I'm saying? But yes, it is, If you need a why, that could be a why right there.
That could be your reason right now. Just that.
Alone.
I mean, that's the thing, though. Like, what can you tell the men? Like, what are some of the things that they can look forward to that are not, women related? Because there's things that I cannot help you guys with. And I've been doing this for 5 years and that's just the one thing I can't help with. So as a man going through this process, what are some of the key factors that they should be happy about or excited about?
So of course, size, you lose again, our fat covers up a lot. I know, again, that's not for everybody because I know not all of us are fortunate. But it does cover up a lot. It does hide a lot. So that was the biggest thing for me. Pun intended. That was the biggest thing for me. That was a lot more was there available for usage. But also the stamina. You want to please your woman and being able to produce. That's huge. So. But also again, you can't just rely again. Now that's also another thing is you cannot just rely on the surgery to lose that weight. You actually also got to put in the work on yourself to get that endurance, to get your stamina up. Cause I mean, you're going to be gassed, right? But all of a sudden it's like, you want to have that endurance to keep going and things like that. It's just like, my goodness. But yes, size, that is a big thing. I've had some questions, some private questions come in my inbox from men. They were just like, can I ask you a question? How is sex changed? And it changes a lot, very much. It is a huge change. And you just have to maneuver it. I mean, hopefully your partner is very understanding and, can see the change, support it and things like that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that was the biggest thing. I admit, I was like, cause I know we always like one of the biggest jokes or the harshest things that somebody will say to a fat guy is like, you're so fat and you can't even see you can't even see it. So of course in my mind, immediately once I lost all that weight and I was like, I see you. High five you. So that is the biggest thing. That is one of the biggest things there. There's so many other things, but again, you just have to really see what works for you, but embrace it. Also be open. And like I said, again, hopefully you have a partner who is understanding. Hopefully, it's your wife, y'all can rekindle some things. If it's a new thing, you know, hey. Now, I will say this. I still struggle with body images, with body image. I don't, and even with all my content, there's probably like maybe two times I've actually shown myself without a shirt.
Okay.
I still struggle with that, with bearing it to show because of the loose skin. So that is...
That's hard.
It's hard. You know, it is hard. And now, intimate-wise, if I'm intimate with you, I ain't tripping. You going to see all this. You know what I'm saying? Like, because then I'm comfortable with you. I already, you know, I've accepted.
Yeah.
And I feel like you have that connection, the energy is exchanged, that you know, you understand. But then there's times that I do feel a little shy, you know, if I'm in bed and when you see me without a shirt or no clothes on and things like that. And again, this is where I hope your partner is very understanding and she wants you or they want you and, you know, you can adapt and there's no strain. Because the last thing you want is to get into bed with someone and then they see you without your clothes and the loose skin and they make you feel.
Oh, yeah.
That will that would take you from here to there
100%.
Quick. Yes. Yeah. So, you know, be open. Especially if you were out there and you lost this weight, be transparent. Because again, you don't know how people are going to react. You know, I do, that's why I believe in transparency. When people, you know, I want women to see that. I want people to see that, hey, I used to be a big guy and I'm no longer big. And, you know, so of course the expectation is you're probably going to see a lot of loose skin. I hope you don't get weird or anything like that. And, you know,
yeah.
It's been great. There's not have been, yeah, of course you have the loose skin in the thighs and all that.
I know. It drives me nuts.
It drives me insane, but you know,
it makes it work. Back at you. You know, it says hi. That's what mine does every once in a while. When I do, what is it called? what is it? Oh, the mountain climbers. Oh,
okay.
Every time it's just clapping. And I was like, son of a bitch. And I hate it when I'm in a class because I know it's me, right? And I'm just like, son of a bitch.
I was like, you know? That. Yeah. And I've always had a big butt. So, of course, now, you know, the loose skin and I don't have as big as a butt. And I'm like, all of a sudden I'm here and I'm like.
Yep.
Compression, people. Wear compression.
Compression. Yes.
But yeah, no. So that's, it's great. Honestly, I don't really know how.
Thank you. I think you did well on that.
Yeah,
project.
Okay.
Yeah. You're good.
It's to be explored. Embrace it. Fellas, ladies, embrace it. Enjoy it. There's a lot of stuff we've been missing out on. So
I agree. Cause like I said, I'm no longer married. So like the last 3 years, like the first year really was the most hoeing it up. You know, there was like 8 dudes in 1 year. So I was like, sweet. This is like, I got a variety.
Okay.
And it was just interesting. Cause like I've only been with I'll tell you, I was only with 6 people before I was married.
Okay.
And so now I've been with 14 people. That's my total number. Okay. You guys wanted to know.
14. Body
count. That's my body count. That's my body count.
And we're not multiplying and dividing. That's what I'm counting.
No, you don't have to times it by 3, divided by 3. I'm not lying about my number. It's 14. But the deal is that like it's vastly different per person.
Okay.
And that was the deal, is that like not one of the dudes was ever mean to me about loose skin.
Okay.
I was like very, very excited about that. And then I was just with dudes that like, they just love bodies where like it wasn't a thing. And so I was like, oh, there is good people out here. Like,
yes.
There is. You know, I was just in a marriage for so long. And we were not, like, I won sex at least every other day or every couple of days. And he was like, I know, right? He's like once a week, dude, or once every 2 week, dude. And I was like, I can't do this. But I mean, that's not why we got divorced. We got divorced because he became a junkie.
Oh,
but
wow.
Yeah, he is a drug addict. He still is, unfortunately. But
oh my goodness.
But yeah, like I was like, this is insane. I get all this attention now. Like you're saying, this is wild. I get DMs all the time, even currently. Mm. I mean, I'm single. Go ahead. It's fine. So you do you, Rose. But yeah, like it's a whole different world. And I think people should explore that.
Okay.
You know, I think that we are now at a time in our lives where we know who we are, mm-hmm. you know, where we've done the work. I would not say do this right in the beginning of your journey. I say, like, give it a little bit, get to know yourself, be comfortable very much. With yourself.
Oh, very much. Yes.
Because the more comfortable you are, the more comfortable they are. And the more that you talk about it, I've mm-hmm. noticed really, really helps. And like, I say the things I don't like and I don't want, or the things that I do want, because like I've noticed a lot of, I'm just going to be very blunt about it.
Sure.
I don't like to be choked, and I don't know why you dudes try to, and I'm just like, let's not touch the neck. I don't want that at all. Don't actually touch my face unless you're kissing it. So it's like, you have to tell these people, you know, what the do's and don'ts are, because they don't know you anymore. Like, yeah. It's not like I was in a marriage for 15 years. So okay. It's just, yeah, you got to be blunt sometimes.
Don't choke me.
Don't choke me.
What is the shades of gray? What is it?
The 50 shades of gray.
50 shades of gray. Don't, like, you don't stop nope. watching it. This is yeah. not that. This is
Guys,
not that.
Not every girl likes that.
Okay.
Okay. Did I just make him speechless?
No, I'm with it. I'm with it. No, I was just trying to gauge the podcast. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, this is how far the podcast can go.
I see. Yeah. I'm going to have to put the shades down or something.
This is after dark.
There you go. So yeah, it has been different. I welcomed it very much. The change, yeah. the shift. I feel sexier. I will say this.
Good.
It was a process learning to love myself more. Looking at myself in the mirror. I do that a lot. I, you know, again, I say that I don't show the world me without a shirt on. I take that back, because a lot of times I was making posts, and a lot of times I'm shirtless, but you're seeing like from here and up.
Right. Right. Yeah.
But most times I'm naked. Like, you know what I'm saying? I am in the mirror looking, and just because I'm still shocked sometimes that where I was before and where I'm at now. So I have way more appreciation for my body.
Good.
And I think that also transitions to anybody that you're interacting with or sleeping with and things like that. You want them to see that, wow, this guy really is confident in his body. And that's going to transfer into the bedroom as well.
Yeah.
You want it to transfer to the bedroom.
Right.
Because, you know, that's going to help a lot.
It does help a lot.
Yes,
it does. So tell me some of your non-scale victories. What are some that you just like are just so excited that you got to do?
Oh, I joined a run club. That was one of the biggest things, because I couldn't walk 88 steps. Here I am right. going to a run club where I jog.
Oh shit.
Yeah.
That's wild.
I think one of the biggest things was, so during the pandemic, everyone was shopping on Amazon and
right.
you know, so, well, anytime you had to return anything, you had to go to like Kohl's or UPS, or whatever. So there was a Kohl's across from me, and it was right in the front, the return section. And they ended up moving it to the back of the store. Now, mind you, this is when I'm still big. I could barely walk 88 steps. And all of a sudden, I find out I'm already gassed from the parking lot to inside. And I'm just waiting to just hurry, give it to them and get back and catch my breath and go. And then I still remember the moment, like when they had moved it to the back of the store. And I'm like, oh my God, dreading having to walk, wobble all the way to the back. Well, as time progressed, I noticed I just freely walked back there. Didn't stop, didn't slow down.
Ooh.
It was a long line, and I was standing in line. I'm not sweating. You know, I was just like, I can do this.
Mm-hmm.
This is awesome, right? You know, so those were little moments like that. Was a non-scale victory. Being able to wear jeans. I got Ooh. To a point I couldn't wear jeans, and then all of a sudden, you know, without having to specially order them, those were some of the huge ones. But then also is... I think my biggest to date would be not needing an extended seatbelt on the airplane.
That's one of my favorites.
The moment I was able to click clack, and you know, I didn't have to like sweet talk the flight attendant to let me get an extra seat, to give me a spare ticket for that.
Oh, yeah.
You know, yeah. Those are some huge ones to be able to do that, you know.
Oh, those are so good, Adrian. I love that for you.
Oh, my gosh.
So one of the last things I have for you
is
the random things. What are some random things that has happened that you were not expecting? And this could be even like during your process. Like, I didn't realize the gurgling was meaning I'm full, you know? You know, like those kind of things. I didn't know I was going to lose weight in my feet. Thought that was weird.
Okay. Actually, that just became a thing for me. So I have short feet. I mean, I have small feet. A friend, she likes to laugh about my little feet. Because again, as a large guy, I'm 6'1". Okay. So but I'm also very wide. I'm a very broad-shouldered guy.
Broad-shouldered guy.
I wore size 12. I'm actually, like, if you measure my feet, it was 11 and a half, but I had very wide feet. So I was always wearing 12s. Well, my mom was like, did your feet get smaller? I was like, why? She's like, 'cause your shoes look huge on you now. Like, they look, you know, and all of a sudden I was like, you know what? That's the reason why these shoes, everything feels so awkward, because again, I've still been buying size 12 and my feet are so much smaller. So now, like, it just, so yes, that is huge. Because now all the shoes that I've been, you know, wearing feel so much looser on me. And I'm like, but it's a bad thing also, because now I actually have to go to a size 11 and a half.
Yeah, the regular size.
So that is one thing that was really big. Gosh, I'm trying to think some other ones that are just most random things.
Yeah, because it happens during our journey. It's just like these crazy things that I'd never expected.
I take food home. I doggy bag everything. On dates, my date, she can eat. She, you know, and she'll finish her food. Not me. I literally, and I feel like, you know, it's always been the other way around. Like, a woman will take her food home. I was like, yeah, can we get that to go, please? No, it's me. I'm like, yeah, I'll take it to go. I cannot finish food at all. I don't, I mean, there's, it's very here and there. Like, if I'm, unless we're going to be there for a while, then I'm babysitting it for the longest. Gosh.
Oh, yeah. Like, I had to learn to like leftovers.
Yes. Oh, and I'm like, a big leftover.
Or
I'm big
cold leftovers. Food. Just, yeah. It's going to get cold because we take so long to eat. So now everything is cold no matter what. Like, it's like, okay, I get it hot for like 3 bites and then everything is just.
That's, yes. Gosh, I can't even think of some other things that are.
It's okay.
I mean, I do have to pace myself to eat. That, I think that's the only drawback is there, is that I can't dive into food that like I used to. And then, you know, say, 'cause again, I do have to pace myself. But I can't. Yeah.
Yeah. That's the one thing I miss, to be honest with you, is diving into food. 'Cause you can't at all.
Not at all. I mean,
yeah.
I've done a little bit when it comes to like vegetarian stuff, but again, and then all of a sudden I'm like, okay, I'm full. And I have to, you know what, but also it opens up conversation, you know, right? Because like if I'm out eating with my friend or anybody, you know, you can stop and just start enjoying the company of people for me. So, yeah.
That's good. Because that's the thing is like, I feel like I'm getting more quality time now.
Yes, very much.
Versus the other.
Instead of just sitting there scarfing food down and all right, we ready to go? No, like I'm still here. So we're going to go ahead and talk.
Yeah, we're going to chat. We're going to talk about stuff. Yeah. That's what's new is like there's more, I know more about people because like I'm just waiting for food to process.
Yes, very much. And I've discovered that in which I have a dessert stomach and I have a food stomach. For some odd reason, I'm stuffed when it comes to eating food. But somehow when it's time to have dessert, I got room for it.
You got room. Yeah.
I got room for that. I take my food home and I'm like, oh, we're having dessert? Yeah, I have room for that. I don't know where it's at going, but it's there. So, yeah.
I would love to tell you that changes, but it doesn't. Because even for me, like last night, I was full. But then like an hour later, I was like, oh, I fucking want ice cream. And I talked myself down a few times. You know, I did the thing. And then I was like, it's Saturday. It's 9 o'clock. I can do whatever the fuck I want. So I went and got a little ice cream. But yeah, I was able to like Eat it all.
Didn't feel weird about it. Exactly. Yeah.
No.
So the biggest thing is for me is though, is that a lot of people, you know, think because I had surgery and because I don't, you know, eat much, it's like, oh, you can't eat this and that. You can't do that. You know, like, no, you can do whatever you want. Mm-hmm.
You
just have to do it in moderation. You also have to understand it. It's like, what are you going to do after that? Are you going to put in the work? You know? So, I mean, there's a change in your life. There's a shift and all that, but you, this is something that you chose to do. So you have to do what's necessary to keep living your life.
Oh yeah. You got to live it, guys.
Gotcha.
And I know people will yell at me if I don't ask this question. You're vegan. So how are you?
Oh, no, vegetarian.
Vegetarian.
Yes.
So how are you getting all of your protein in?
Okay. So I still do protein shakes. Okay. I go to Smoothie King. I actually have, Fairlife, the core power.
Oh, like I was, yeah.
Yes, mm-hmm. I definitely do that. I'm a big quinoa, black bean, hummus, cottage cheese. Okay. I think every day.
Cottage cheese has a lot of protein.
Yes. And actually a lot of mornings I have cottage cheese on toast, avocado on toast. I still eat eggs. Vegetarians don't, but I still eat eggs. So that's where a bulk of mine. And of course, I eat a lot of plant-based things as well. I have been thinking about going back to maybe even chicken or fish just to help with protein. But if anything, it'll probably be fish and probably be salmon if I do. But there's so many like different options out there for it. And I guess my analogy, which I may not be right, but some of the biggest, strongest creatures out there are gorillas, and they don't eat meat.
They don't.
You know what I'm saying? So they're getting their protein sources. And so it does exist. A lot of people are, you know, it's out there. You just have to be more mindful for it.
Yeah, you have to plan for it. Yes. You have to look for it.
Very much.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the only drawback is that you have to, because sometimes there's not options that cater to, you know, but there are, you have to be mindful and prepare.
And I think that is kind of our life now. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't you agree? It's just what, like you got to plan for your water, your protein, vitamins. Are you taking vitamins? Yeah. I got my ProCare right here. So, yes.
See, and that's the biggest also thing is that waking up and taking all of that and being consistent with all of that. So, hey there, noisemaker.
Yeah, this is Nova.
What's up,
everyone
Nova?
Everyone knows her as Novers. Yes. She was sleeping. Now she's like, are we done yet? Say we're almost done. I guess the other question is therapy. Mm-hmm. I don't want people to think we think that that's not a part of this journey. It is. I've been doing mine for a year now. So are you in any therapy?
I was.
You were.
Yes, I was in therapy. I'm looking for a new therapist now currently. I was seeing a therapist. I gave in. Besides the initial psyche eval that you have to have surgery. I didn't want to open that door. So I finally but I confronted a lot of things or needed to confront some things. I needed to tap in some things and there's a lot of uncovered trauma that we need to face so we can truly live in ourselves. And I finally accepted to do that. So I did start therapy. It was going really well. I just felt like I needed someone else, a different fit. So I will say this to you, just because like if you find a therapist and if you have any doubt or uneasy, that could possibly mean that you need to find someone else.
Yes. And that's okay.
Yes. It's very okay. It's very much okay. Mm, yeah. Like the young lady, she was very pleasant. I just felt like I just needed someone else.
Yeah.
You know, because that's going to help tap into more than, you know, I probably just needed to uncover and things like that. And you just got to find who fits for you. Honestly, just like you finding a partner, whether, you know, it's intimate or whatever, you have to find someone who fits for you, right?
Yeah.
So the therapist is the same way. You have to find someone that's going to fit for you and you're going to be comfortable opening up because that's
and
the
sharing.
Biggest thing. Yes. Because a lot of times you might get with somebody and you're like, I don't feel comfortable talking to them. But that's what you're there for. So you have to find someone that's going to be like, all right, I'll tell you. Let me go ahead and tell you, you know, so yes, therapy is a plus. I think it's necessary. I think it's very necessary. I regret not doing it sooner.
Yeah, same. 100%.
I felt different. I felt great. I was like, damn, I should have really started this shit so much sooner.
And so. I hear that all of the time, guys. So just know, like, if you need to find a if you want a bariatric therapist, you can find them.
Oh.
Actually, Ashlyn, she is a bariatric therapist and a bariatric patient. She's been at a lot of functions.
Okay.
And she made a website just called findabariatrictherapist.com.
Oh, wow.
And she's been getting with everybody in each state to try to get as many people as possible. So just go to that website and you can find one in your zip code. You can find one if you want it to be more trauma-based, more grief-based. You can find all that kind of stuff. So just know, like, I love the fact that the people in the community are making things for other people in the community to use. And she's one of those, like, because she's done... Like, she's done 3 or 4 surgeries. Like, she knows what it's like to deal with being obese and whatnot. So I love her to death. That's who I do the cutting edge with for the plastic surgery. I got Dr. Betas and I have Miss Ashlyn Douglas Barnes. So go check her out.
Okay.
And if you need any other support, we got Pop Recovery Systems. They will help you after bariatric surgery. I actually did their full support group for a while. Mm-hmm. And yeah, you literally get a nutritionist, you get a workout coach, and you get a mental health therapist, and you get to see them each once a month. So so they have a whole team behind you. They're actually sponsoring the podcast. So you can click on the links and go over to their free one-on-one consultation. You can do their free support groups. We're all in there helping each other. I think that's what I love about this community is that we're just here to help each other.
There you go.
Because that's awesome. Know how hard it really can be. And yeah, therapy, we all wish we would have done it sooner.
Very much, yes.
You know, you find out things about yourself. And I found out why I love chocolate chip cookies. Like, if you bring chocolate chip cookies to me, I will eat the whole bag. I will eat the whole plate of them. It's a problem. I have to have you take it out of the house. But I finally, it took me a while to figure out why. But the deal is that I don't have a lot of, I love my mother. She's still with us, but we don't have a lot of good memories in my childhood. But one of the memories that I do have is us making chocolate chip cookies.
There you go. Okay.
So that's why when I see them, I'm like, ooh. And then I'm just like, I just have all this good feeling around this chocolate chip cookie. So I just keep going. Yeah. And so, yes, you can learn little things about yourself that you had no idea was a thing. And you can help yourself for the future. Like, now I don't bring chocolate chip cookies in the house. And I tell people, if you're bringing dessert, just don't bring chocolate chip cookies.
Like, note to self. Note to self. Do not bring this one with chocolate chip cookies.
Do not. I mean, you can bring M&M, peanut butter, snickerdoodle, whatever. I'm fine. But chocolate chip cookies, I'm going to go ham on. So
I guess mine, I would have to say, is pecan pie.
Oh, pecan. Oh, so good, though.
Yes. It's still.
I love a good pie.
Yes. Pecan pies, I think, is still my.
Oh, I love it. I love it. So as we wrap up here, what are some tips and tricks that you want to give out to others that are starting this journey or they're in the middle of it?
Get after it.
Yeah.
The biggest thing is, I say this on a daily basis, is like, you know, get after it, get up, get after it, and keep showing up. Just because, I think if you don't see it in results immediately, you're not going to see it. You know, we didn't get big overnight.
No.
So don't expect the change to be immediate. You're building something within yourself and you have to give it time, give yourself grace. But just got to show up, honestly, show up, because there's a lesson in everything that we're doing in life.
Yes.
And, whether, you know, you fail at it, you win, you grow, there's a lesson. You just have to be willing to look deeper into it to find that, what that is. A lot of times it's not going to be very visible. It's not going to be there clear. This is a part of the journey. This is, you know, you're not just losing weight. You're building strength within, you know, yourself mentally, emotionally, emotional intelligence. Allow that. It's okay to feel bad. It's okay to not be okay. As long as you're diving into that to, you know, dig a little deeper, and just bask in it, bask in this whole journey, the ups, the downs, like all of these things, you have to bask in it and just enjoy it. Enjoy the mystery of not knowing what's going to happen next, what's coming.
Oh,
That's the biggest thing. Enjoy the mystery of it. Cause I'm telling you, you're going to be like, what the fuck is going on?
100%.
You're living your life. It's you. Yeah. Just enjoying it.
I know. It feels like imposter syndrome at first, for sure.
Yes.
But yeah, just live the life and just do the things that you feel like doing and be mm-hmm. around the people you want to be around. And like, if I didn't get surgery 10 years ago, we wouldn't even be having this conversation right now. That's crazy. Right. I would have never met Adrian from fucking Austin, Texas. I never would have been at a retreat, you know?
We would never walk to the cemetery all the way from
Burr. That was so much fun. That was such a good time.
Can I tell you something real quick? Because I actually had no interest in going to the cemetery, but the walk that we had to get all the way there, and the moment we got there, I was so let down. When it was closed, we missed it like by 10 minutes.
Yeah.
I was so let down because, again, the interactions that we had the whole way walking from, you know, St. Charles all the way to, you know, we were in the French Quarter all the way to the cemetery.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it so much just talking with everyone. I was excited to explore the cemetery with you all. But initially, I was like, I don't really want to go. I was like, I don't want to go. I lived in New Orleans. So I was like, I don't want to see this. But the whole time I was like, so when I got there, I was like, oh man, we're not going to go in. Oh hell. I changed my view on it. So, you know, I had to share that with you because I don't think I had a chance to say that. But yeah, that's.
I know. I loved all of our interactions. So that was the deal. It was like, who would have thought we were just going to walk? Like we walked to a fucking cemetery
in the rain.
In the rain, it was closed. And then like, you know, some of us girls were like, we got to pee. We're trying to go across the street. They won't let us use the bathroom because we're whatever. And we're like, oh my God, this is nuts. But it was such a good day because like, I don't know if you were part of the people that also went with us for the parade.
I think we met you. Yeah. After the parade. I missed it. I missed out on it. That's the one thing I wish I would have taken part. I had my camera with me and I wanted to shoot. So yeah.
He takes really great photos, guys.
I really love that. Can I drop a plug real quick?
Plug away.
So check out my media page. It's Big Bear Media 512. I guess the name, a lot of people may wonder. When I was 600 pounds, my birth mom called me Big Bear. My family, my nieces, they still call me Big Bear. I shoot a lot of sports photography. So I have all these little girls that play flag football. I'm a big flag football supporter. All you hear is Big Bear this, Big Bear that. So I had to explain to a parent, they're like, who the hell's Big Bear? And I'm like, that's actually me. I'm Adrian. I'm Big Bear Media. But yeah, give me a follow. Check out my work. Yeah. I am a growing photographer, branching out from not just sports. I'm actually trying to dabble into portrait, graduations, photos, just lifestyle. I actually even want to get to a point where I can do, what is it called? For the ladies.
Boudoir?
Yes.
Boudoir shoots?
I would love to do that. But again, I do understand it's a very, you have to be very comfortable with whoever your photographer is. But I mean, again, I want to dive into it all. Even like weddings, I'm terrified. I'm so terrified to do, but I know that's where I could, you know, make a lot of money.
You know, there is something coming up in 2027 that maybe you could do photography for.
What?
Yeah, it could be the Just Be You Bariatric Awards.
Madison, look into that.
Yeah, because when this is going to come out, the last Monday of the month, so here quickly, and I'm opening up volunteer stuff for
JBY
2027. That's right. All volunteers. I'll open it up from February 1st to, I think, this is not a leap year, so it's February 28th. Okay. And I will, everybody, just give me, you know, whatever you guys want to do, because this is the JBY Awards is a full hands-on community event.
Okay.
So
I'm new to it. I just learned about it recently. So yeah.
Yeah. And this will be our fourth annual award show. So this is going to be a lot of fun. And yeah, it's the community basically puts it on together. I'm just the host. I just make sure everybody's paid and everybody knows where to go. That's what I do.
Awesome. Well, yeah, definitely.
So this will be so much fun. Yeah,
for that.
Yes, Adrian, I would love to have you a part of it. I think you match the vibe because it's very like eccentric. We want happy, fun. Let's get dancing because I know this man dances. So
don't. That's how rumors get started.
I saw it with my eyes, bro.
That is the big thing. So before we go, that is actually another thing is that it allowed me to tap back into that Adrian that I had hidden away for a long time is getting on the dance floor, getting the energy, getting the endurance to,
To be out there. It's a whole thing.
Yes, it is.
And it feels good. I love dancing, so it feels great.
And the dancing transitions over to a bedroom, but I'm just going to leave it at that.
If a guy can dance, it's great. Just FYI. Move your hips. Just saying. All righty, y'all. This was such a fun interview. Adrian, thank you so much for being here with me.
Thank you for having me. Thank you so much.
Of course. I'm going to have, guys, all of his links below so you can go follow him and his media channel. We definitely want to support each other in this community. Yes. And of course, you guys know this. Make sure you get your water, your protein, your ProCare vitamins. Use OSLP. And lastly, don't be an asshole to one another.
Damn,
alrighty. Right have there. A great week, y'all. Bye, see you later.
See you now. Bye.
Thank you for joining me on this episode of Our Sleep Life Podcast. Don't forget to head over to my YouTube channel, hit the subscribe button, and follow me on all the socials so you stay connected. And remember, until next time, keep shining bright.